This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. The new year is upon us, a time of endings and new beginnings as we close one year, looking forward to the fresh new year to come. Many of us considering resolutions, pausing to take stock of who and where we are in the journeys of our lives. Perhaps we should consider that a life well lived is not about getting stuff, doing stuff, and having stuff. It's really all about being true to who we are, living our moments and our daily lives fully, moving us to the call of Jesus our Christ. Make the commitment now to spend time daily reading your Bible and meditating on His Word. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community, worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage. You're invited to join us for worship Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at 1515 Egger Street, just above the high school in Rock Springs. The new year is upon us. Are you ready?
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, January 30th, 2022, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Well, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us pray. We come to feed on your word, to feel the encircling of your spirit. May we live our lives with confidence in God's enduring promise of peace, forgiveness, and eternal life. Let us rejoice and be glad. Amen.
Let us prepare to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Pray, let us begin in a moment of silence as we center our hearts and our minds on a God of love, grace, and mercy. Gracious and loving God, hear our hearts and prayers as we lift them before you this morning. Father, we come to you from many places in our journey. We come to you from many, many different places of our heart. We come to you from wherever we may be. Let it be come to you in truth. For Father, you see us as we are. Nothing is hidden from you and all things are seen. So Father, we might as well just be honest with you. Sometimes we struggle, sometimes we fall. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop. Sometimes we're stuck in a valley below. But wherever we are, Father, let us know of your love and your grace and your mercy. Let us look up to you in the midst of hopelessness and know that you are our God, that you are a God of many, many, many powers, gifts, and abilities that do not have limits. And Father, help us to remember that sometimes we are the greatest limiting factor to you. Father, forgive us our sins. Forgive us for the things we've done that we should not have, and for the things that we should have done that were left undone, for a kind word not shared, encouragement not lifted, truth not recommended. Father, forgive us for the sin of silence. But also forgive us, Father, for the sins of commission, for those things that we have done that we knew we should not have, that we knew right after we did them we should not have done those. Father, forgive us in your grace and by your mercy. And Father, help us to remember that just as we are all sinners saved by grace, others around us are too. That no one is perfect. All fall short. But Father, don't let us use that as an excuse not to change, not to try to do better, not to trust in you, to give us strength, to serve you in a way that honors you and glorifies you despite our brokenness, despite our faults and despite our failures, that they would see you at work in us and know that whatever work they see is only you, and only you can do it. Father, we pray for many needs within our hearts and lives, written in our bulletin, written in our minds. Whatever that need may be this morning, Father, we bring it to you. We ask you to touch it by your love, grace, and mercy. And Father, we ask that your will be done, knowing that your will is that we would be loved and know love, that we would be forgiven and that we could forgive others, knowing that you love us in a way that we can't understand, and in a way that just really not only we can't understand, but Father, it's just beyond our even beginning of comprehension. So Father, we pray for this church and our community. We pray for an upcoming Bible study of experiencing God. Father, we're trying to reach out and offer this into the community, but with our own midst, Father, we would pray that people would take the time to be a part of this as we seek as a church to move forward in ministry, to move forward with your call upon our lives. And Father, we'd pray that people would take it seriously, take the time and make the commitment. Father, it is a great study, but it's only one if you do it. So Father, we pray that we're hearing you and following you and joining you in your activity. Father, we pray for other churches in our community that they too would be open to these invitations, that we could take down the dividing walls of denomination and center on Christ, to share Christ into the world around us, to share hope where there is hopelessness, healing where there is brokenness. And Father, we'd pray today that your Spirit would move within our community and upon the hearts of every person, that they would know you and come to you. Father, we pray that same prayer for churches around this nation and in the world. We pray for the leaders in our country, the servants. We pray that they would know you, serve you, seek truth, honesty, and integrity. And Father, we'd pray for those who are hurting, those who feel lost and left outside the norm. We pray for Wesley's people. For he said that the world is his parish and that he was called to reach the last, the least, and the lost. And Father, may that be our mission as well. As we pray for one another, we pray for those in hospital, shut-ins in their own homes, in nursing homes, and care facilities, and those who care for them, those who serve our nation in many different ways and serve our communities as well. And now we pray that you hear us as we join together praying the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The liturgy this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful.
It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. But we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Love chapter, as it's been called, and I guess we could say that's what it is. It does have love in it a lot, but it's stuck between 12 and 14, right? That's the way 13 is. It kind of gets stuck in the middle. Chapter 12, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, who is in this whole pagan hotbed we've talked about, of this place of crossing over in this part of the Roman Empire, where it was lawlessness on every turn, paganism, non-believers. In Corinth, there was temples to every deity there was, sexual improprieties. Every vice that you could think of was hiding out and on full display as well in this place called Corinth. And there, Paul had started this church, and this church was prizing spiritual gifts. He's talking about that in chapter 12, and we spoke there last week, and we've talked about those gifts and the power of those gifts, and one gift of this or one gift of that. They're all gifts given from God, one to be valued no more than the other. But in the pagan world that these people had come out of, there were some gifts, mostly the ones of talking, of prophecy, and speaking different languages were prized. And the cool thing was, you got to know this, because if you don't, some of the stuff that he talks about in here doesn't make a lot of sense. But it would if you were sitting there, having grew up in Corinth or been there for some time. When you were successful in some of those pagan entities, the one thing that they would do is they would celebrate your success. When you had arrived, you did good, you'd made some accomplishment, they would celebrate that by going out and crashing this bong, clanging cymbals and making noises. And that was how they knew that somebody over at Temple B had just been successful, that they had just been praised, that they had just been honored, because it was important that if you did something that was honor-worthy, that you immediately got that feedback, and they would clang those cymbals and hit those gongs. And likewise, when you were about to die and you thought it was your end was near, you would donate your body, that they would take it apart, even that they would burn it as a odor to the gods. So you kind of got to get that in place and kind of get it going on, because Paul is trying to bring these people out of paganism, out of pagan practices, into the presence of God. They've got the gifts. They're celebrating these spiritual gifts, but they're using them like they had used them over in their pagan lives, and they're making themselves look good. They're saying that this gift of prophecy, this gift of speaking in different languages, and this gift, and this gift, and this gift, they're all better, and they're arguing about all this stuff. And when Paul ends chapter 12, he said, here are all these spiritual gifts. Now I'm going to show you a more excellent way. Remember, that's how he ends chapter 12. And then he goes in to talk about chapter 13, which falls between the gifts listed in 12 and the application of those gifts in chapter 14. We arrive at this chapter we call the love chapter. So let's talk about it a little bit. I told Kathy and them that my message is going to be a little different this morning. It's going to be participatory on your part as well. Anybody running for the door so far? So let's talk about it for just a minute. When we look at 1 Corinthians 13, it starts out as Paul is going to define it, and he says, if I speak in tongues or different languages of mortals and even of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I'm a pagan. I'm doing nothing no different than I did when I was lost. I'm not accomplishing anything. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. It accomplishes nothing. If I give away all of my possessions and I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Let's look at these next four verses in the slice of first part of verse 8. Love is patient. Let's soak on that one just a minute. Is that humanly possible? Probably not. So love is patient. Love is kind. How about that one? That one humanly possible? All the time. I've learned that humans can be quite unkind. Smart little chewy comments. Ignoring things. Telling things that aren't always true. So love is not envious. What you think? It's not boastful. How about that one? It's not arrogant. Or rude. How many of you just say, well, I love you enough to just tell you the way it is? You better know that rude's fixing to show up right there sometimes. It does not insist on its own way. If you love me, you will. How's that one? It's not really love, is it? It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. This next verse is hard. Love, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And then he says, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, what does that mean? When Jesus comes, he's the complete way, truth, life. It is finished guy, Alpha and Omega guy. You know, he's the complete. When the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, and then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide these three. And the greatest of these is love. For love never ends. For us as Christians, believers. We have a unique relationship. When we accept Christ as our Savior and our Redeemer, enmity with God is eliminated and access to God is granted. And God bestows upon us gifts. Every single one of us who believe in Jesus Christ receive spiritual gifts. Many believers have no idea what they are, but we don't just get gifts. We should get a new heart, new eyes, and new ears. You see, we are born again. We're not born over. Paul says we become a new creation, born of God, of the Spirit. And we get these gifts and we get these talents, we get these abilities, not that they're normal in any ways. You know, so when I ask, is it humanly possible for us to love as Paul is describing in verses 4 through 8, is it possible for us to believe all things and hope all things? That's how God loves us. How many of us realize that? But we have experienced love in our own lives as well. Love can be a wonderful thing. And I'm not talking about that ooshy-gooshy kind of Hallmark and hearts on the Valentine's Day's coming up. I used to break up with every girlfriend I ever had the week before Valentine's Day so I wouldn't have to buy that stuff. And then I'd get back a week or two later and everything was fine, you know. And they'd always give you the stuff they already got for you. So, you know, you got, anyway, that was really bad, wasn't it? That wasn't kind, was it? What are you shaking your head yes for? I do the same thing at Christmas, too. And when I found out their birthday was coming, I write that puppy down, too. That's just the way it was. Well, when you're poor and you can't afford to buy that stuff, you got to figure a way out of it. So it's just the way it was. So for us as Christians, it's this unique relationship where God blesses us and God gives us. We know as Christians how much God loves us. We know that He bears all things and hopes all things. He does all of that for each one of us, doesn't He? That's how God loves us. The reality is, folks, we don't know love until we know God's love for us. Humans are limited. God is limited. My ability to forgive you is based in my relationship with God because I have not a lot of those other gifts naturally. I am not patient. Even with my relationship with God, Carrie takes forever to get ready. I make 40 trips and she's still doing an eyebrow. I mean, how long does it take to put an eyebrow back in line or whatever's going on, you know? I had a lady that worked for me one time. She didn't have any eyebrows. And we had nicknamed her Granny. She's an older lady. She did the cleaning around the offices, and she was coming in late for work. And she always put on her eyebrows, and she put them on in the car that morning. They were kind of sort of run across, and I just, sorry when I thought about eyebrows. I thought about, I'm sorry. It was just funny. I told her, I said, you can take time to go fix that if you want to. It's a little lightning streak kind of going on, and she went in the, I've been to here, I've been to there. I said, did your husband not tell you? He didn't have his glasses on. But he was driving. So I'm not the most patient person in the world. I'm just not. But by God's grace, I can be when God needs it to be. How about you? Do you know when God's at work in your own life, helping you to extend grace, to have patience, to understand? How many of us have ever believed everything everyone told us? I'm selling land down in Louisiana. It's got a waterfront view, no matter how deep your stand is. But how many of us have done that? Many of us are a little suspicious when somebody tells us something. Oh, come on now. But we do know that God believes. How many of us have ever made a deal with God? Get me through to get me on. Take care. Okay, you know, we make a deal. How many of us have kept our part? Not always. How many of us have modified the trade? Well, you know, God, I know I said, but could you let me up? How many times? Just look at this list. But what's important is love, and love, we need to know, comes from God. God is love. It's the essence and the character of who God is. And when we accept Christ as our Savior and we are reunited with God, our imago Dei, that image of God into which we're created, finds itself there, then we become capable of great amounts of love. And we should live in humility knowing how much God has loved us. I'm amazed at God's love for me, but sometimes I get upset with God. Does anybody else? Yeah. Why did you do that? Why don't you do this? I'm really tired of all the lies that goes on with people all the time. Why don't you smote a few and it'll fix it all up? Oh, that's what Carrie says. I'm picking on Carrie this morning, aren't I? But we have known love, haven't we? I guess over 30 years of pastoral ministries, I've done a lot of funerals. Let's just go there. I've sat down with family, moms and dads, children and grandchildren, husbands and wives, community members. And I sat down and I've started this at the very beginning. By God's grace, I say, okay, I'm going to ask you a few questions, and they're going to seem odd, but they have a purpose. Bear with me. Tell me something about this person that you would want someone who had never met them to know. What is it? That's one of the first questions I always ask, if I don't already know myself. Sometimes I know who they were. I asked Debbie that question about Mitch. And I ask about, I don't want to embarrass people, but I ask that question. Do you know what I always get? Almost without exception, I want them to know how much he loved his family, how much he loved his children, how much he loved. I've never in 30 years had somebody say, I want them to know how much he had donated. I want somebody to know how many she had. How he loved to fish, how he loved to camp, how he loved to spend time with family, how he loved, how he loved, how he loved, how he loved. And there's always an example of how that person had loved, how they had loved their family, how they had done this that was self-sacrificing, that was not self-centered, who wanted to protect the people that always, 30 years, folks. And I don't hear about bank accounts. I don't hear about cars, unless they say he loved cars, you know, and he wanted to be sure, but he loved cars. But I'm talking about it gets down. It doesn't get to the stuff. It don't get to the things. It gets to he loved his family. She loved her family. How do you know she loved you? Just because you say, oh no, she would fix cookies. She would do this. She had set aside. It was all those little things. We've known love, don't we? And we've shared love, haven't we? We've shared the kind of love that God has put within us. How do you know love? This is the interactive part. How do you know love? What is love for you? Is it a small thing done without asking? Love was Granny and that pasty, nasty red lipstick. And I hated that she said, "My little Randy." And here come that. I would give anything today to hear my granny say. And I'd love to have some of that greasy lipstick right on my cheek. Because I knew that she loved me. How about you? How did you know you were loved? How do you know you are loved? It's important. It's important to know that God loves you with an everlasting love that you can't understand. And to accept God's love and grace in humility and be thankful and grateful. Sometimes we know love through the pain that we go through. But it's love. How do you know if it's real? It doesn't go away. I love my granny as much now as I did when she died in about 1984. I love my dad as much now as I did when he died in 2000. It hasn't diminished. I can still see him in a green toboggan with a crooked little smile. How about you? It hurt like all business when my daddy died. And when my granny died. But that's because of love. How about you? Carrie, did your daddy love you? How about you? You can share, by the way. I know I've got the stool and I sat down so that I wouldn't feel like I was standing up and, you know, doing something. I was going to put it down there, but I can't see everybody from down there. So, how about you? I see it on your faces. Your mind is going over it. Have you thought about those you love? Do you want to believe good things about them? Hope good things about them? Are you patient with them? Well, maybe as patient as you think is needed. What is love for you? I bet it's not that Hallmark ushy-gushy kind of good feelings. I bet it's a little more than that. I bet it's a little more than that, isn't it? So what is love? You see, love isn't about getting your own way. Love isn't about taking advantage of others. Love's about reflecting how God has loved you. You see, God loves us with an everlasting love, but he doesn't leave us in our mess, does he? He loves us enough to bring us up out of it. He loves us enough to challenge our lives, to challenge how we're living, and to change how we are loving one another. Jesus gave us one commandment. Love one another as you have been loved. Love is tricky. Love is sometimes messy. Sometimes love hurts. Sometimes it's a joy. Love runs all of those gamuts, but we have everyone experienced love in some way. And we need to reflect on that. We need to acknowledge that. Don't let the devil make life inside out and upside down. But sometimes love says no, as hard as that may be. Sometimes love says, back up. Take a breath. That was some of the hardest things I had to do as a parent, isn't it? Say no sometimes. Do you know that God tells us no? Out of love. Love is truth. Love is honesty. Love is living in humility. Living with brokenness, but not staying in the mess, but letting God work in us in a way that only God can. And that brings us, when we go over and look at chapter 14, everything we do that God does through us should be to honor him and to glorify him and show his love in our life and his love through our life and the lives of others a more excellent way. You see, Martin Luther King Jr. was correct. You don't overcome hate with hate. Only love can do that. Darkness can't overcome darkness. Only light can do that. But love always wins, and light always casts out dark. May we be light. May we be love of God in the world. Accept his love for you. Don't try to figure it out. Just accept it as a gift of grace and share it as you've received it. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Pastor, it's hard to love when you've been broken so many times. Pray for me that I can love as I have been loved by God. Slip your hand up. Amen. Amen. Pastor, it's just hard to get my mind around how much God loves me. Would you pray for me as I think about that and reflect on that this week? Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Pastor, sometimes I have been so broken by the people who said they loved me, but it came with too many strings. Pray for me that I can let that go. Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Pastor, I've been taken advantage of in the name of love. Help me heal from that. Pray for me that God can help me with that. Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Pastor, I want to love, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what it'll cost. I'm afraid that it'll require too much. I'm afraid it'll take more from me than I have to give. Pray for me. If that'd be you, slip your hand up this morning. Pastor, I just really struggle with this whole thing of love. It almost seems foreign to me. It's really not been something that's been in my experience. If that's you, I want to pray for you particularly today. Slip your hand up and take it right back down. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, love is hard to understand. And we'll only understand it more, but maybe never fully, as we walk with you in humility of life and faith. Father, we thank you today that you love us, though we don't understand how fully, and we don't understand why fully, but you do. You loved us enough that you sent your Son to die for us. But Father, you love us enough not to leave us in the same place, to not leave us in the brokenness or the selfishness or the self-serving or to take advantage or to exploit. You don't leave us in those places that look like the world, but you bring us into your presence. We hear you say no to many things that are wrong and self-destructive to us, our societies, and our communities. And Father, sometimes we have to be careful that we're not enabling one another to stay in the mess and for the mess to only grow. So Father, this morning, may we live with you, accept your love, and love others as you call us to, that we may bring honor to you and glory to your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding go with you, bless you, and keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. And may his love that we can't understand, we can't always explain, but that we always know is there, hold you, keep you, and strengthen you in your journey here and your journey without these doors. Go in peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
Service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rocksprings.umc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rocksprings.umc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.